Vitus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
Is that War Rocket Ajax? To bring back his body?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to War Rocket Ajax. This is the internet's most destructive comic book and pop culture podcast, and we are your hosts, live, on tape, from the hotel room. My name is Chris Sims, and with me as always is Liquid Rage, Matt Wilson. Matt, how are you tonight?
Number 9 plutonium is here.
Supercharged.
Supercharged. I have actually not been all that on about hot sauce during HeroesCon. So far,
you did say the phrase, "I wish we could replace all mayonnaise with sriracha," earlier.
I did say that. I did say that.
Which is a very different condiment.
It would be good, though.
I agree.
It would be good.
Get the Scovilles up. So many Scovilles.
Sriracha's. It's nothing.
Maybe we should talk about the show we've got today. We're at HeroesCon, everyone. We're actually sitting with each other in the hotel room. On a nice, quiet Saturday evening here at HeroesCon 2018.
It's very serene.
Very serene. It's picturesque.
Yes.
You can tell from my voice that it's been a good show. It's been a little scratchy.
But that's that means it's you've done the work.
I've been talking to so many good friends, so many good people here at Heroes. Matt, we're going to talk to some more good people at HeroesCon. We are about to have the collective, known as Frank Comics.
That's true.
Who make some of my favorite things that have ever happened in comics. We're going to be talking to them about their new book, which is called Ghost Box, which is on lock to be... You know how we talk about metal?
Yeah.
We could talk that same way about Ghost Box if more of you had read Ghost Box.
That's true. Ghost Box... Here's an interesting thing about Ghost Box. At first, it's about boxers in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I get it.
Right.
Then those boxers in the afterlife become ghosts. And you're like, oh, I get it more. Then it's about a box that holds ghosts.
Yep. You know, I only just now got that. That they literally get inside a ghost box.
Layers, man. Layers upon layers.
So many layers. So we're going to be talking to John Pating, Shiggy Kobayashi, Daniel Sheely, and Mike Suddoth about what it's like to make comics that are so highly focused on Columbia, South Carolina, and turn into some of the best comics I've ever read.
How to make comics that are funny sad in such an amazing way.
Such an amazing way.
But before we do that, Chris, let's talk briefly about HeroesCon.
Okay.
It's kind of a Checks and Recs segment of sorts,
okay.
But we're not going to have official Checks and Recs. I think we're just going to talk about what the show's been like for us so far this year and maybe what we've seen on the floor, what we've seen around the show that's been worth bringing up. And I want to talk a little bit about noticing how trends around the show are changing.
Are we going to talk about cosplay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cosplay at HeroesCon has changed noticeably over the past, like, maybe 3 years.
In a pretty quick... This year, I have noticed a difference from last year, which was different from the year before.
Yeah, it's a very different cosplay vibe at this show, in a very good way, I should say.
I think it's a net positive. The word I would use to describe it is, and I wish there was a better term that I could think of, but more diverse is
it's,
what
it's
I would want
variety.
To say. Variety. A greater variety. Because we kept count yesterday and today of, like, Harley Quinns, Deadpools, Negans.
Chambers.
There were two Negans together
today. There were two Negans together, so you know there was a Negan and a second Negan, which means there was a Negan and a Chambers.
That's right. In case you don't know what we're talking about, Chambers is the second Negan.
He's the second Negan?
He has two bats.
He's also played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
He's in season 8.5.
Yeah. So, we've seen some of those around.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a good many Spider-Men. I've seen some Black Panthers.
We saw...
There was a King T'Chaka.
I saw a T'Challa, a Killmonger, and a King T'Chaka today, which was dope.
We had to, like, big up that King T'Chaka who was walking around.
He was incredible.
That dude was great.
Yeah.
But more than that kind of stuff, it seems like more people are opting out of dressing as, like, very popular characters, mm-hmm. or, like, the hot characters of the moment. Like, there were so many Harley Quinns the summer Suicide Squad came out.
There have been Harley Quinns every year. It's just they just keep adding different Harley Quinns.
Yeah.
Like, because there was classic Harley Quinn, and then there was Arkham Asylum Harley Quinn in the nurse costume. Then there was Arkham City Harley Quinn. Then there was Suicide Squad Harley Quinn. Then there was new Harley Quinn. Then there was Superhero Girls Harley Quinn. No offense to Harley Quinn. I like Harley Quinn costumes. But there were a lot of Harleys and a lot of Deadpools.
Yeah. Similarly, I remember so many Jared Leto Jokers after mm-hmm. The Dark Knight. And Joker's always been a popular costume.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen a Joker.
I don't think... I might have seen one, but I have not seen nearly as many as past years.
Unless it was like a mashup Joker.
I think I might have seen like a... to put it in Lego terms, Vacation Joker. Like Hawaiian Shirt Joker. I think there was one of those.
Sure.
No, I will say, a lot of this has to do with being in a con in Charlotte, North Carolina in June when it is 91 degrees outside. Ain't no Negans walking around in 91 degrees because that costume involves a leather jacket.
There were a few today.
But I feel like that cuts down on Negans. That cuts down on Jessica Joneses.
Yeah.
Because when we do the con in November, then we see a lot of Negans and a lot of Jessica Joneses because you can just put your jacket on.
You can just wear a jacket. But what we've been noticing is a lot more people just dressing as the character they want to dress as,
mm-hmm.
from perhaps an obscure thing.
I saw, she came by the table today, a wonderful young lady named Jessica who came by the table. She had read Downset Fight. I sold her Sword Quest today. She was dressed as a zombie from the Disney Channel original movie Zombies, which was delightful. And it was a detailed costume.
And I love this. I love this idea of, like, I don't care if I'm the most popular character.
Yeah.
I just want to... Here's what I like.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm going to wear the costume of the thing I like. And that is very... I don't know. It means that cosplaying isn't just trying to do a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about showing your personality.
It is very evocative of, like, oh, this is the thing I love.
Yeah.
Which I like. Which I think, you know, has always been at the heart of cosplay, but there's definitely, like, trends. And I feel like the trend now is, like...
I feel like there's a type of cosplay where it's, like, what can I wear to get the most attention? I don't mean, like, bad attention. I mean just, like, for people to be like, hey, cool costume.
Yeah. The dude who was dressed as Spider-Man and came by to get 23 copies of X-Men 92 number one side 3 years ago.
Like, I saw a Thanos or two today. It feels like Thanos could have been that character.
Yeah.
But there's less of that.
Yeah. And there's so much, like, great stuff that people put so much effort in. There's, like, there was a Valkyrie Mercy who had huge wings that were awesome.
Yeah.
There was an Ariel, the Little Mermaid, Aquaman mashup costume. That the trident was a giant fork, which was, when I got it, amazing. It took me a minute, but when I got it, amazing. She was fantastic.
And this isn't to say that, clearly people haven't been putting effort into their costumes this year, because they absolutely have.
Yes.
But I have noticed more of a handmade, homemade aesthetic to the costumes, where, and less of the, like, very, very involved... like, mechanical stuff that I've seen at cons before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where, like, people are in, like, full-on mech suits or whatever.
I did see a Punisher Iron Man that had the pretty involved mechanical stuff.
When he was doing the War Machine thing.
Yeah. But I haven't seen that 8-foot-tall Sasquatch.
Yeah.
That you see sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this has been, like we said, I guess it's been more and more of a thing over the past few years, because I remember a whole group of people, this might have been last year, a whole group of people who were the characters from the movie Death Becomes Her.
That was last year. I remember that.
Last year. This year, I saw the recurring cosplay of the guy dressed as Colonel Sanders and his, let's say, daughter. They're always together, though.
Uh-huh.
He's dressed as Colonel Sanders. She's dressed as Wendy from Wendy's.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel like those don't go together, I feel like.
I feel like there was a bigger group of fast food mascots.
Yeah. Feels like Burger King or Ronald would be a closer.
I feel like Burger King was with them at one point.
We're going to rank the fast food mascots right now. Creepy Jack from Jack in the Box, number one.
Oh, no, I'm going to go Creepy Burger King, number one.
You're Creepy Burger King?
When they were doing the Burger King ads, where, like, the guy...
Hey, Burger King, it's fucking terrifying.
Where the guy opens his door to his house, and Burger King's across the street, and then he turns around, and then he turns back, and Burger King is right there!
Those were some weird ads, Matt.
Loved those ads.
All right, So yeah, a huge variety of cosplay. Like we could list off like different ones we've seen all day. So a really good Adventure Zone group.
Yeah, good stuff.
Really good. I'm trying to think of like big groups, but even within groups, there's like different.
Yeah, I don't even notice.
Five people will be Adventure Zone, and then like Batman will be there.
Yeah, like I don't even notice like the big groups like necessarily being as coordinated.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like people are wearing what they want to wear.
Yeah.
Wearing the costumes they want to wear, and I think that's. So great.
Yeah, and like there's a lot of good Overwatch stuff, but like, I saw like a couple Soldier 76s that were all like different skins.
It
was
yeah.
Really cool. Like there was a full-on like Grillmaster 76 with the Hawaiian shirt and everything. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. Did you get any good books today?
I haven't been going around and buying a lot of stuff. I'm saving buying stuff for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to hit up tomorrow.
I did go over to Michelle Fife's table yesterday to talk to him for a bit and pass off an issue of my comic. But I ended up picking up the Bloodstrike books that he's been doing from him.
Those are wild.
They're so good.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talked to him about them before they came out. But now that I read them, man, they're so good.
Yeah, I'm going to get those tomorrow. And Katie Skelly is here. She's got The Agency, which has Agent 8, Agent 9, and Agent 10 in it that she did. And I'm going to pick that up tomorrow. I'm really excited about it. Yeah, a lot, like, I haven't had the chance to get out, but there's a lot of stuff that I've been kind of, like, marking down as, oh, I want to get that. The only thing I've gotten is Ghost Box.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, and I got my copy of Kelly Dale brought over the Skyward Omnibus. If you remember, we had her on the show talking about Jeremy and how this was his favorite show. And so she debuted the completed Skyward Omnibus here this year. It's beautiful. If you kickstarted that omnibus after hearing her on this show, it's a fantastic book. It's got like spot gloss on the cover. It's so beautiful. It's really good.
Yeah. Other cool stuff going on. Like, we've talked to a lot of great people. I've only done two wrestler drawings so far through this entire thing. They were both for the same person, but it was my way of doing my Money in the Bank predictions, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
This is going to come out after Money in the Bank, obviously, but if you want to see what those were, check out my Instagram.
So, Matt, your predictions were... And...
That's all
right,
very clever.
You can do post on that. You can do post.
And just right. Say they were right. Although yeah. They're documented on Instagram. I did say it was going to be Natalya and Samoa Joe.
I mean, you could, but like, this didn't come out till Monday. You're just like, it's like, Becky Lynch.
I guess I could go delete the Instagram.
Delete all of Instagram.
No, it's the only good social media.
That's my wife, everybody. Aiden's here.
Aiden's here.
Hi.
I am going to delete my Facebook page. That's something I'm announcing on More Rocket Adventures now.
Yeah, man, I got out of that game years ago.
Yeah, I had a couple things keeping me on it, but...
Seth Rollins, man, burn it down.
Burn it down.
Yeah, HeroesCon 2018 has been a lot of fun. It's been great to see everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Did almost get into a fight at a sushi restaurant.
Okay, are we going to get into this?
Do you want to get into it?
All right. We went to a sushi restaurant for dinner.
We go to the same sushi restaurant every year. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want y'all blowing on my spot. Charlotte next year.
Yeah, it's a real hidden secret.
It's a real gem. Look, you can go to that Dairy Queen next door while I'm eating my sushi.
So we're we show up at the sushi restaurant. We had a reservation for the back room.
Mm-hmm.
And we were waiting for other people to show up.
Yeah, that's right.
Up.
Private room.
That's right.
Private room.
We were waiting for other people to show up. And so Chris and I are just kind of standing in the entryway while Chad and Josh Kroc, who were with us, Chad Bowers and Josh Kroc, went to check out the used bookstore next door.
Which is, don't say it's next door. It could be anywhere within walking distance. Don't blow up my spot, bro. I don't want to be selling copies of Deadpool Pablo while trying to get my sushi.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I would love that, actually.
You carry copies of it with you everywhere we go.
Oh,
just in case.
Oh, this old thing?
It's very embarrassing.
So, okay, and this is an important detail. We were both wearing plaid button-up shirts.
Yeah, if you've ever seen me at a con, you know I usually wear like a plaid shirt with a tie.
And if you've ever seen me...
If you've ever seen Matt Wilson...
You know I'm wearing a plaid shirt.
Yeah.
So, this guy walks in a Styx Tour t-shirt.
This sweaty man in a sweaty Styx Tour t-shirt.
It's got dates on the back.
Yeah.
It's tucked into his pants. He walks by us, and all we hear is, brr, 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 hang out with the plaid shirt, guys. Buh, buh, buh.
And I look at Matt.
Well, okay, then he did it again.
Well, I looked at you, and then he said it again, and I looked at you harder. Like, what the fuck?
So he was walking toward his
date.
Female companion.
Yes.
And said it the first time. Then he, like, got up to her, must have not thought it landed the first time, or she didn't hear it. So he said it again. He goes, but plaid shirt, guys. Chris and I exchange a look like, this motherfucker.
Say it again. Say it one more time.
What are you even talking about?
Yeah.
Is it that weird to wear a plaid shirt?
Keep my sartorial choices out of your mouth.
She, his date,
no-sold it.
Doesn't
Hogan
react.
86.
Doesn't react even a little.
Yeah.
Then he's like, let's go sit at the bar. And he goes to the other end of the bar to sit down.
He put his back to a wall.
Yeah. And we could not figure it out for the rest of the night.
It was weird. It was a weird one. All right, so you want to do an interview now?
Yeah, let's do an interview. Let's talk to the good, good gentleman of Frank Comics.
Those great fellows of Frank Comics. Program this week, we are very, very excited here in the hotel room, the annual Heroes Con hotel room, to have a small and intimate gathering.
Yeah, we're doing something a little different this time, in that we don't have an audience in here, per se.
We don't have 20 people in my hotel room.
We just have 4 guests.
Yeah. Always the sign of a very smooth sailing podcast. But we have Mike Seddeth.
Hey.
We have Daniel Sheely.
How's it going?
We have Shiggy Kobayashi.
Hello.
We have John Petting.
Hello.
We have the crew known as Frank Comics.
That's us.
Who have produced what is legitimately one of the best comics of the year, if not ever.
I want to get into that for sure. We're definitely going to get into that. But before we do, I want to bring up something exclusive to Heroes Con. From this year, or not exclusive to, but that I first saw here, and that is the banner that you guys currently have. Please tell me about the making of that banner.
Well, and there's history. We should probably start off with the origins of the banners.
Oh, right.
Oh, man. You guys have quite a banner history, and I don't mean like bannerism, like, you know, huge. I mean like you have a history with banners at your table.
Like, traditionally, if you've ever been to a comic book convention, if you have a comic book, you want the banner to reflect your work or the new comic that you have, and we tried that once, and that didn't stick. So we put silly stuff, we change our banners every year, and we put silly things on it, like...
I think the biggest hit was So, you know, Frank Comics, the biggest hit was when we went to JJ's. This banner was a totally it's a local hot dog place. It's delicious. It was totally an excuse to just go drive up to Charlotte to have hot dogs to shoot for this banner. And we just took pictures of our hands holding hot dogs. Why am I pantomiming like I'm looking at actual people? But we had a hot dog for every letter of Frank.
Yeah. It was confusing for some of the people in the
convention. I just found out there was a person who legitimately thought we were selling hot dogs.
Yeah.
Because the word Frank also means hot dogs.
I can see that now.
I do feel like that is possibly the most memorable banner you guys had.
No.
It's burned in my brain.
Oh, was it the 80s photo
GQ?
One? The laser?
The GQ one was good.
Yeah.
The laser photo was good.
Okay, yeah, you gotta explain.
Oh, is it the glowy eye?
Explain the GQ banner.
I like using cameras, and it's just, like John was saying, everybody always has their artwork. They want to show off what their abilities are, and we're just like, we've got books. Let's do something else that's fun here. So, got everybody together.
We dressed up.
Yeah. Sexy photo shoot.
That was this one, yeah, right? Just adjusting totally the tie.
Yeah.
Shiggy
yeah.
legitimately looked like he needed to be on a GQ cover. Yeah. Like that, I was like, man, that's great.
I practiced really hard to look like a magazine model. Yeah,
it's so good.
We've done banners that like...
Kyle Stark said that GQ display was like really professional. I'm like, no, it's not.
We're doing it in a friend's garage. It's
like, and it's a comic convention. Yeah. This isn't professional
it's
at all.
It's not something people do at all.
So this year's banner, we...
Wait a second. We'll get to this year's.
Okay.
My favorite banner was when you made a banner of a photo of your booth from the previous year.
Yeah. And it was like super pixelated, and we all had the red eye. We didn't take it out. Oh, my God.
It was the photo of the banner with the mother and daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah.
And that mother and daughter came that year, so I got a picture.
We got a picture of them looking at us.
Banner inception in the background.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, last year you had two banners.
Yeah.
Because you had a blanket that you had printed on Walmart.com.
Yeah.
And then underneath that was a second blanket that was printed with a screenshot of you printing the first blanket.
It's like the order.
It was the order-form website.
Yeah. I don't understand.
That one got away from us a little bit. We jumped the banner shark.
Yeah, that one got away from us.
This year you pulled it back. You pulled it back.
This year's...
I want the oral history of this year's Frank Comics banner.
Okay, our original banner plan was to have... I'm slowing. We're not going to do this, but we were going to have, like, we were going to, you know how people, like, professionals will put, like, their comics on their banners? We were going to
do comics.
We were going to do comics we were never going to do.
Fake comic covers as banners.
We were going to do a comic of Mean Grandpa, Pizza Princess.
Vampire.
These all sound really good. These are comics you should make.
Yeah. But you can't not do Vampire. No.
John, explain Vampire.
Yeah.
Is it a vampire who feeds on vampires?
Yes. But he's a pizza delivery guy. And see, what happens is...
Why are you not making this?
Here's the actual story.
We got really into that.
Look, you gotta not give this away on this podcast. Just make it for next year.
We ran out of time. But that's too much work. That's like... five covers.
Me and John were just going to be cranking them out. So he ended up texting me about a week and a half ago. I was like,
he was about to start on Meme Grandpa.
Yeah, I was doing Meme Grandpa, which is like essentially Rip Van Winkle, but with memes, like a kid.
Yes, a teen who's he's asleep for 1 year, and he wakes up to memes he doesn't understand.
Yeah, okay. But it's the whole time I've been hearing the Drake... You know, just dumb.
Yeah, I've been hearing Mean Grandpa.
Yeah.
Mean
Grandpa is a whole different bag of chips.
Mean Grandpa's amazing. All right, I guess in order to make this year's banner make sense, we should say, John, you write and draw.
Yeah.
Shiggy, you write.
That's right.
Mike, you're an artist.
Yeah.
Daniel, you're the hype man.
I don't do anything, but yeah.
You're the little John.
Daniel's our Ringo.
You really are.
You're the hype man.
I'm the mascot more than anything. Yeah.
Yes! Yes!
It's rare that you find a comic studio that has a hype man involved, like, I mean, an official role.
But speaking of being a mascot, the Banner. The Banner indemnify? That's not right. Exemplifies that. Mm-hmm. That's the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah, our Banner looks like it's. It was illustrated by Mike, and it looks exactly like the Ghibli Studios logo, except Daniel is the Totoro, the big Totoro.
Yes.
And then the other three of us were tiny, and we're on the top, sitting on Daniel's head.
Yeah. John texted me when we were. I was getting ready to start.
I texted Mike Ghibli, but instead of Totoro, Daniel.
And I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. Got it.
I didn't know he was going to put us on his head.
Well, I didn't sketch it out where we were on the head, but as I was drawing, because, you know, he has the other little Toros, and I was like, wait. So I started drawing it and then sent it, and yeah, it was, that was it. That was it. Chigis gave us the kanji, because, you know, I don't know Japanese at all.
I think I told you yesterday, John, that I wanted to keep that in my house. Mm-hmm. And you went, do you really?
Yeah.
And I said no. But now Aiden's here. I decide if I'm going to approach you about buying.
We trash our stuff every year.
That's bananas to me. There should be like a warehouse like WWE has. Oh, they've got all the old ring skirts and stuff.
There should be a weird ass storage unit in Columbia. But you guys let lapse.
Yeah, we
somebody somebody storage wars that storage unit. And then they open it and they're like, what the fuck?
They have no bid for it. They've got to bid for it.
Yeah.
They have no idea what we do.
It's hot dog banner. It's like, what is this?
Hot dogs?
They can't decipher from everything. Yeah. It's like a mystery.
Imagine,
just like,
these models really like hot dogs.
Imagine aliens trying to reconstruct what humanity was, and all they have is the Frank Comics banner
marketing material.
This species was doomed to fail. Like, there's,
if nothing else, we have to grab a photo of the banner.
Yeah. For sure.
To use as the art for this episode of War Rocket Ajax. So we'll grab a photo of the banner to put up on warrocketajax.com.
Oh, that's cool. There will be t-shirts. We have designed. we're doing shirts for this one.
Well, you haven't done shirts in a while, because the big shirt that you did, if people are familiar with you, who haven't been coming to HeroesCon for 15 years and you still live in Columbia, South Carolina, your biggest hit was Princess Calabretta, which was the big MMA Disney Princess story a couple years ago. We talked about Dirty Cops when you did that one.
Right.
But the Princess Calabretta, you had the shirt that went with it, which was the Columbia shirt. I don't know if outside of my lovely wife, I will ever love anything as much as the four of you love Columbia, South Carolina.
That's really interesting. Yeah, in all of our stories, Columbia, South Carolina is definitely a character in every story we write, in that we just will put locations from our hometown.
Just like in there. In Columbia. I mean, it is, yeah.
And our stories have been set in various places like fantasy kingdoms and heaven, most recently. And
heaven, as it appears in Ghost Box, which I can never remember the name of, because here's your last, in reverse order, here's your last four comics.
Yeah.
Ghost Box, Grave Box, Ghost Life, Dirty Cops.
That's right.
I kept calling it Grave Box. Yeah. Like, I've referred to it as Grave Box multiple times. I think the other day we were talking about it, and I was calling it the Afterworld,
the logo also looks like a coffin.
Yes,
yeah, yes,
which
that's
is
intentional.
Even more confusing. Right?
So the book Grave Box that we did was titled that way because I couldn't think of the word coffin. I kept typing things. And I meant to write coffin, ended up being grave box. So we kept that as
there's another word for that too, and that's casket.
There were several words.
Oh, no. Didn't I? Now there's another one.
Yes.
Grave box.
Also the title of our next comic. Yeah,
casket. Google.
So Ghost Box opens in heaven at a boxing match.
That's right.
Presided over by the mayor of heaven. When you were describing this to me, Shiggy, a couple months ago, you got to the phrase "Mayor of Heaven," and that's where I had to stop you. But when you see heaven, It's the State House.
Yeah.
It's downtown Columbia on a cloud.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is amazing. And then there's below it a flat Earth, and then nine circles of hell.
Yeah. Yeah. We show our whole cosmology in page one, panel one, and it's.
That was the second time I drew that page. At first, the Earth was round, and then I was just.
What I love about that flat Earth in particular is that it has roots. It's like conical.
It is an illustration. It is an illustration, but it does have to be accurate.
It's fair. That is fair and true.
The flat Earth was pulled from another Earth, like a round Earth just extracted.
So, a thing that I really, we haven't even gotten to talking about what Ghostbox is about, and that's because what Ghostbox is about is kind of complicated, because it's basically seven comics. Each chapter is essentially
four comics.
Well, chapter one is a big boxing match. Then chapter two is like a mystery. Huh. And then chapter three is Street Fighter. and then chapter four is another mystery. And chapter five is a superhero comic.
Well, Punch-Out is in there somewhere.
Yeah. And also a Christmas story.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
So, please, can you guys take our listeners, give the pitch that you would give someone if they said, what is this book about?
Right. I've been giving several pitches this weekend, just to whet people's appetites, but without spoiling too much in the story, and so I'll tell people that this story is basically about it opens in heaven, like you say. It's about two boxers in heaven, and they in the title match in the first chapter, one of the boxers, her arm just vanishes in the middle of the match, and the leg also vanishes, and then that's a mystery of the rival, and it turns out that something's happened on Earth.
Yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns.
what was finished business becomes unfinished business, and so they have to become ghosts.
Yeah, we really explore the afterlife and different kind of beliefs and tropes that exist in our collective mind and collective culture. So we do talk about ghosts, and we talk about angels, and we talk about devils.
Yeah, do you want to talk about the angels and devils, guys?
Do you want to talk about the angels? Should we establish the race of everyone in this room first?
Well, I'll say this. There are three angels and three devils. Technically, four devils.
Four devils. Four devils and three angels. So, I was reading it, and I didn't get it at first.
Yeah, that was amazing. I thought that was amazing.
Well, because I got hung up on, there's a part where the one of the characters, Calibretta, is, who has the same name, but is not a different character. A thing that I really like about you guys, and a thing that I genuinely think is amazing about your work, is that you do the Osamu Tezuka thing, where you have the same, quote-unquote, actors in every story.
I know you did that.
Yeah. You really didn't know that you had a character named Calibretta and a character named Crane.
No, every... Tezuka.
Oh, Tezuka, yeah. Oh, sorry, I thought you said I did that.
John! What?
You've been all these books.
Yeah. John, come on. So, yeah, you have Calibretta and Chutong, and Calibretta is a devil, and Chutong's an angel.
Right.
And then later, and they're boxing, which there seems to be, you could just go to hell and go to the Zestos in hell, and you can just go up to heaven. It doesn't seem to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But then later, there's a devil talking about how she used to be a ghost. And the thing she talks about, her story, is that she ran an orphanage and spent her life caring for these children. And I got hung up on that, and I was like, why is she a devil, though? So I was reading this first chapter, and I came up to the booth, and Mike, you and John were there, and I was like, guys, why is she a devil? Is it just random who gets to be an angel and who gets to be a devil? Oh, and you said, it's not random.
So, yeah, in this story, it's all the angels are depicted as people of color, and all the white people are devils.
You are such a honky.
That was to Chris. Let me put a stage note in the script here. Aside to Chris.
Quietly to Chris.
So I want to talk about a personal epiphany I had reading Ghost Box.
Oh, okay.
A lot. It's a lot to talk about. You guys reveal that heaven and hell mm-hmm. have fried chicken and ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I can't live with an afterlife that doesn't have those things. If I die and I go to an afterlife where they don't have fried chicken and ice cream.
Hell.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be a devil. And I go to an afterlife that doesn't have those things. I'll be pretty mad.
Just think back. It's like I was lied to. Yeah. Sold a bill of goods.
That's right.
No.
So you guys put... Chris mentioned Zesto's.
Mm.
Yeah. That's a local...
Yeah, they have delicious salty eatery. Fried chicken.
Yes.
That sounds wonderful. Like a local eatery in Colombia. And you guys just kind of like, hey, let's put this in the book however we can. And so you stuck one in heaven.
A significant portion of our story is set in a fried chicken place in yeah. the afterlife.
You slightly changed the name.
We do slightly change it as Bestos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just, with the Z of the Dragon, if you've ever seen the Dragon Ball Z logo, it's Z of Dragon Ball Z. But with the best, like, Zesto's font.
Yeah.
Bestos.
I know the owner, and he likes me, but whatever.
Have you ever mentioned it?
No.
You haven't mentioned, hey, I've done 23 comics. No.
They might sell them behind the counter if you talk about it.
I don't know.
Quick, I want to jump, that page you were talking about with reveal, where you got stuck on, like, how did this woman who devoted her life to orphanages go to hell?
Because there's also, like, a tiny child devil.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a big-eyed, cute child devil.
That page is my personal favorite in the entire book. When John was working on it over the course, like, he would, you know, I'd be hanging out with him, and I'd see a page he was working on. And that page, showing her life as a human... And specifically her death, that panel had me, I was almost in tears cracking up.
You can piece together the clues in the panel.
Yeah, the visual storytelling in that panel is fantastic. And it all leads to the bottom. Just the implications of this other cute devil child who shows up earlier in that page. I was like, this is the best gag build-up page I think I've ever read. It's fantastic.
That's the thing that I love about these comics, is that it's not just that they have the big, weird, high concepts, which obviously I love. You know, like, and Calibrate and Dirty Cops, I think, were the biggest examples of, hey, this is what this is about. This is a Disney princess story, but she does MMA, and at one point a giraffe gets kicked so hard it dies, which people are very upset about, yeah, by the way.
I wouldn't draw that today. Go on.
But there's not just the big high concept stuff. There's so much craft in these, and there's so much, like,
thank you.
Beautiful visual storytelling. like, again, I didn't get it. Like, it would have taken me a second reading to realize it.
That's amazing. To me, that's like such a racial like litmus test.
It really is.
You were blind to it. Like, that's amazing.
You get it.
That's great. Yeah.
Because even in the beginning, during the fight in heaven between the champions, where there's a split.
You see the crowd.
You have the crowd. You have the Black Angels on one side, and the White Devils. Like, it's a split.
Yeah. No. In retrospect, I put it together. But I read you did. It was at SC Comic Con. Mm-hmm. You had the first chapter as like an Ashken. And I read that, and every time I get a new comic from you guys, I devour it. Like, I read it as fast as I can, and then I will read it again later over and over. When we got Ghost Life, there's a line in Ghost Life that Chad and I say to each other once a week, that Aiden and I say to each other once a week, which is where a kid gets hit by a truck and becomes a ghost. And then another ghost shows up to explain to him how to be a ghost. And the kid goes, what do you do as a ghost? And the guy goes, you know, haunt people, and dogs, learn their secrets. And the kid goes, dog secrets? And the phrase dog secrets is, it's the new cellar door. It's the most beautiful phrase. Dog secrets. But yeah, there's so much.
And there's a dog secret in this book.
There is a dog secret in this book. But there's so, like, how, like, do you, how do you put together these comics? Like, because it has the feeling of something that you just start at the upper left and finish at the lower right. But I know there's so much, there has to be so much intricacy going on in there. I think.
It's a lot.
John just raised his eyebrows.
It's a lot of sitting in a room and snowballing, and it usually goes downhill real fast. It's like riffing, everyone's riffing off of each other, and then
yeah, we come up with like funny concepts all the time.
Yeah. Like the banners we were talking about, like we have a whole idea for Mean Grandpa.
Yeah, every comic could actually be written, it just won't.
For a banner that didn't get made, you know? So it's just the time that we spend together is just like coming up with more and more concepts and building on.
Did you catch the meme Grandpa is, he was frozen in a block of ice or whatever when he was 17, and he became meme Grandpa at 18?
Yeah, I got it. I got that it was 1 year. It's Rip Van Winkle, but 1 year.
Yeah, it's a lot of it snowballs, and then all of a sudden, like, John and Shiggy will have written, like, a script, and a bunch of the jokes just get in, and then from there, it's, like, more riffing.
It's, come up with a funny concept, then... How do we make this really sad?
I mean, a lot of, like, we were talking yesterday about a lot of the earlier Frank comic stuff, like Mr. Waffles. Mr. Waffles is the darkest comic I've ever read, except for Motorcycle, which is actually the darkest comic I've ever read. Where did Ghostbox, like, because there's so many different ideas, and the story follows, like, the story flows through everything. It feels like logical steps. Yeah. Even though what's happening is wildly divergent in every chapter. What started it? What was the first idea?
Frankenstein.
Yeah, definitely Frankenstein. Yeah. I was thinking about, like, a Frankenstein or a Frankenstein's monster. I was thinking about the monster and saying that there's no way that... there's no way that the monster could be all male parts, for instance, and like, why do we refer to the monster as a he? And we just started there, kind of conceptually, and then we started thinking about what a Frankenstein is made of, and then jokes build out of there, and then you have a fully formed story about boxers in heaven.
Well, like, you even initially had a concept that we just kind of abandoned, which was now that this Frankenstein has a soul, when you die, will become like a Frankenstein ghost.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We haven't explored that, yeah.
So it's like made of multiple souls.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Frankenstein in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein even, like, is alive, right? Mm-hmm. And so when that Frankenstein's monster dies, what happens to it in the afterlife is
we didn't research Mary Shelley's Frankenstein until after we finished
the book. And then I started looking into Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and learned that this year, 2018, is 200 years since the publishing of the book in 1818. So we're happy to celebrate the anniversary of the publishing of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein by
great.
Putting out our book.
Because we almost don't need it anymore. Now we have Ghostbots, which is the next thing that we're going to have 200 years. I said that at one point the book becomes Street Fighter.
Yeah.
That's kind of inaccurate. It actually becomes Mortal Kombat. And there is a grid you have. It's a 12-panel grid depicting the 12 fighters.
Character select screen.
At Spooky Fighter, which is the ghost fighting tournament. It's the character select screen. And so you've got Calibretta.
Mm-hmm. Ghost.
You've got Xu Tong.
Another ghost.
You have the Ghost of Christmas Past. Who is the for real Ghost of Christmas Past, like, from A Christmas Carol. You have Sheet Ghost. And then you have seven dudes who look exactly alike and the Ren Dominator. And their names are The Agony, Despair, Infernus, Genocide, Evil Genocide, Repticide, and Homicide. How did that one happen, and why is it so funny?
All I know is when I had seen that page, and you went out of your way to show me that page yesterday, and I said, take that, Ed Boon. They got it. Then I waited 15 seconds, and I said, toasty.
Yeah,
toasty.
So our book is 200 pages long, and it is about boxing. And it's about the afterlife. And I've already said we don't know anything about the afterlife. So we have made it just Columbia, South Carolina landmarks on clouds. And we don't know anything about boxing. So all of the fight scenes are lifted straight from high-level Street Fighter play and Mortal Kombat and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah, like drawing Princess Calabretta, like I'm not like a big MMA guy. So I had to research, and I didn't really want to do that, but, like, I do watch, like, professional Street Fighter, so.
Like, every weekend. Yeah. So we're big, like,
So I base the fights on Street Fighter movies.
That
so.
Opening.
And I love Mortal Kombat, by the way.
Raw, standing,
yeah.
Fierce.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't know she's plus one on block after that Raw. It's like,
yeah,
this
we talk
is
about
stuff that we, like, even the announcer. Mike Mendoza, also IFC Yipes, is his fighting.
Yeah, they're based on real.
Yeah, it's like real commentators. We just love. I'm the one lone like MMA guy, and usually when we end up talking, like, because he would ask me about it even at other shows, like talking about, okay, so like when you're doing MMA or whatever, we start talking about the different components about like the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and then we ended up getting into like other riffs about like, hey, what if a what if there was a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu slasher like Jason? just, we could never stay focused on the actual. He's trying to get research, and it turns into like, hey, what if we had a grappling horror story?
I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah. Okay, so we can figure out the title.
BJ Jason.
That's the title. That's got
that will probably get you soon.
I guess, yeah, the spelling could be, yeah, we're going to have to.
Yeah, there's a part where the ghost fight is about to start up, and people start talking about 20 frame startup, 40 frame recovery, which I found very funny. It makes me want to quit, guys. It makes me want to quit doing comics because it's so good. Now, we've been talking about Ghostbox for quite some time, and we've mentioned a lot of the other books that you've done. I know that you're selling Ghostbox here at the show. And it's a big 200-page book. It's great. I demolished this in one night, just sitting there. And Aiden kept asking me what I was laughing at, and I could not explain to her how funny it was to see Richland Fashion Mall in the pages of a comic book, and how people who don't live in Columbia aren't going to get that one. But if people want to check this out, do you guys just sell them at cons, or is there a place that they can get them online?
We debuted this book yesterday at day one of Heroes Con, and we have some plans to get it out there. I say if anybody wants to find out about us, they can find out about how to get the book. They can follow us on social media, and we'll keep them updated. We're in the middle of some conversations right now, so trying to see where that all goes. All
right, good, because literally everyone should buy this comic. So you have a new book pretty much every Heroes Con. Like, every Heroes Con you bring something new.
We'll try, yeah.
We love this convention, so we want to have something for it.
It's like, I think like us, it's the big con for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you planning on doing next?
Mean Grandpa, apparently.
Mean Grandpa's going to be a hit.
Vampire.
Like, Vampire, guys. That's money.
Meme Grandpa versus Vampire.
Yeah. Okay. Wait.
Excuse me. Meme Grandpa V.
Okay. But unlike DC Films, you can't do that first.
No, I know.
That's how we introduce him. And then we go off and...
You can't do that first. You have to earn that.
We're happy to earn that, Matt.
No, but he's right.
It won't make any sense.
You let the reader fill in the backstory. It's all implied. It's all implied in the way they stand.
If you don't want to take my editorial advice.
John and I have something that's in the works, and I feel like it usually just...
Mike is actually the better artist than me.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we have something in the works, and we were talking about it earlier today while I was doing some development sketches on it, hoping to have a good 50 pages or so done of it by the fall? Really want to get cracking?
I did not know that.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, that's what we were talking about, like, working out the schedule. So, and then I've got like other things I'm working on. I did a dumb comic. Well, not dumb. I love you. I'm sorry, baby. I did a comic where I documented my wife's pregnancy.
That's the one. And,
you can't call that one dumb.
Yeah, yeah. I realized that. I almost caught myself.
Okay.
Not in time, though.
Mike, hang on. Let's walk this back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out a line to save you, buddy. The comic was you're not.
I'm watching Captain Matt try to navigate these waters.
You're not confident in the quality of the comic. The pregnancy was wonderful and beautiful and golden.
A plus, yeah. A plus on the pregnancy. And so I'd had a bunch of questions about, hey, are you going to continue it? And I always thought, like, well, I don't know if my kid's going to want like daily drawings of her.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. So that is basically the answer I got every time. So I've been working on doing quick beats of like years 1 through 4. She's 5 now. She's amazing. And I will just be picking that up as a kind of a webcomic that I want to put out there. Like, hey, here's my kid and our bananas family. Yeah. Fun stuff. So that's the only other thing I've got going on other than our book. And I don't want to say the name because
we do have things in the works and we do have things coming up, but we also have all these comics that we have already made, and I think a lot of people may not have read it at this point. So we've got some of those at our website, so I can plug that in.
I want like a hardcover gold leaf, like Frank collection. It's got Motor Psycho in it, and Mr. Waffles.
So I'm the latest Frank guy. Like the way these guys all grew up together, and I ended up working with John and Daniel when I graduated from college, and we, you know, realized we were all into comics, and so when I came to them, they already had like Motor Psycho and Mr. Waffle, and I mean, reading that was
for the listener, mm-hmm. since it's been mentioned a few times. Can we talk about Motor Psycho?
We should talk about that.
Motor Psycho is a superhero. Everybody thinks he has telekinesis. He dresses up like a Power Ranger and he rides in the sidecar of a motorcycle because it appears as if the motorcycle is just driving on its own and he's sitting in the sidecar. Yeah, he's using his mind powers. In theory, in truth, there is actually a perfectly logical explanation for why it looks like Motor Psycho has telekinetic powers. And that perfectly logical explanation is his best friend is invisible and does all of his movements for him by walking around and lifting up trash cans and things like that.
Yeah, lifting up trash cans. That's where that book goes. And who does he fight in that book?
He fights the villain that shows up initially is the Money Burglar. And the Money Burglar is exactly like the Hamburglar, except instead of hamburgers, he steals money. And so he wears the striped cape. Yeah. And
you might be inclined to say, aren't all burglars people who steal money? But burglars also steal goods.
Valuable objects.
Right. Valuable objects. The Money Burglar robs a jewelry store by not taking jewelry.
No, he doesn't care about jewelry.
Instead, taking money out of people's wallets.
He only cares about money. Money.
Yeah.
Most brilliant comics.
So reading those, like, those were already there when I kind of came into the picture. It was just like, oh my god, I have to. Like, how could you not want to make comics with these guys? It was amazing. And then having super similar senses of I guess story and also humor.
Yeah.
Just being able to jump in and I actually snuck Motorpsycho into. I did a pitch comic years ago, and I snuck Motorpsycho into a panel I drew. It's just it was the same thing. It was almost like a character select screen. And I had a Motorpsycho in there because I love that. I love that story so much.
It gets real dark.
It does get very dark. And so we talked about the implications of what it means when you don't when you aren't responsible for your own actions. So Motorpsycho announces to the air.
I thought it was funny.
Motorpsycho announces to the air, I'm going to punch that guy across the room. Or I'm going to hit that guy across the room. And then the guy across the room gets hit by Steve, the invisible friend.
Hmm.
And Motorpsycho never has to throw that punch. And Steve has to live with the psychological impact.
The invisible guy
has to live with the psychological impact of performing violent acts on other people.
Again, they're so goofy and high concept. But all of them are about stuff like that. Like, this is literally a book about, what happens when you die and you have unfinished business and the way that you die. And Frank, in this comic, is a very tragic character.
Frank who becomes the Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is deeply sad.
Yeah, upsetting. And then, Calibretta's a lot, very much about, violence and Dirty Cops is about morality and good and evil. Dirty Cops being the book about the Columbia, South Carolina homeless police, which you acknowledged is a very problematic premise, which it is, but it is also...
Dirty Cops is a mistake.
Did you ever hear the story of the cop that...
We've had multiple police officers comment on, walking by our table.
Yeah, at Minicon, this cop picked up Dirty Cops, and he looked at me like, Dirty Cops?
Well, he never heard the phrase.
Yeah, it's what is this?
Do they need to take a shower?
And we say, yes, they do.
we were like, no, literally, they're, which again, trying to explain it, it's like, this sounds terrible. It's like, no, they are homeless police. And he would just,
it gets better.
Which is why they're dirty. It's a horrible thing to explain. And he's just sitting there flipping through. I don't think he ever quite got it. Like, no, we're not meaning anything.
It's, look.
Cops on the take.
It's a tough one to grapple with.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, it is also a comic that genuinely brought tears to my eyes when I finished it. And I thought about getting panels from it as tattoos. No joke.
Wait, what panels?
South Carolina with a halo and angel wings.
Hell yeah.
Because I have...
On your back, please?
Oh, no, it's going to be right here.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be on my arm.
Oh, you need that back. Piece, buddy.
Wings on each shoulder blade.
Oh my god. <Dead before summer. laughs> It's because it is no comic book panel has ever captured my personal complicated relationship with the state of South Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, guys, we've been talking for quite a bit. I think it's maybe about time to wrap it up. Maybe go downstairs and hang out with some friends for a little bit. But before we let you go, the website is...
FrankComics.net.
FrankComics.net.
And we also made, for this weekend, we made a hashtag that's just hashtag GhostBoxComic. And people can search for that, or you can create your own fake content to seek out other people who may be looking for this comic.
Please don't tell people to create misleading content in your hashtag, Shiggy.
Please troll the hashtag. Hashtag troll the hashtag.
Listen...
Hashtag meme grandpa.
Frank.
Somebody.
Frank Comics is mining new methods of communication. Okay, so for listeners who are not in the Carolinas, who are not
going to be coming to shows where you guys are going to be. They're not in the Columbia area. They're not at Heroes Con. They're not coming to Greenville. How can they best acquire your comics? Like, if they go to your website, what can they do to be able to get Frank comics?
Yeah, right there at the website, there are a lot of our older stuff is just available to read, actually.
Yeah, so, for free.
So you're able to do that.
No ads, no nothing.
And I do say keep up with us on social media to see how you can purchase our books as they come out.
All right, so I guess where can people find you online, John?
John Padding, and I'm John Padding on Twitter.
And that's P-A-D-I-N-G.
P-A-D-I-N-G, 1-D, yeah.
Yep. J-O-H-N.
J-O-H-N, yeah.
And I'm my first name, which is Shigeharu, at Shigeharu. S-H-I-G-E-H-A-R-U.
Dave's on the phone right now.
I was looking at the Frank Comics website.
How about you, Mike?
I'm Mike Sudduth, M-I-K-E-S-U-D-D-U-T-H. I'm that on Twitter, Instagram. My website is MikeSudduth.com. Find my illustration stuff there.
And you don't really want to contact me. So.
Just come to Heroes Con. He'll be at the door.
Yeah.
Guys, genuinely, you can put this on the cover. Their comics so good they make me want to quit making comics.
Please don't. Please don't.
Frank Comics. We're so glad to have the four of you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. The book is called Ghost Box. I almost said Grave Box.
Isn't it Grave Box?
It's Ghost.
What is it? Ghost Box. The book is called Ghost Box. Thank you so much. Everyone should get this book.
Thanks for having
us.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
Thanks once again to the guys from Frank Comics, frankcomics.net. Absolutely go there and read their comics. Matt, that brings us to the end of the show.
That's right. If you...
Or does it? It doesn't. It doesn't. Because another Heroes Con tradition.
Oh, right. I forgot all about it.
Yeah, Matt. It's your birthday.
Well,
it's observed.
Observed.
Matt's birthday observed.
Parentheses observed.
Matt, I have here a gift bag with beautiful dots on it.
It's got some dots.
That's now, Matt. Before you open that, before you look into it,
it's got the tissue paper. It's very masculine. Looks like a dump for men.
Did you pick that out?
Yeah.
Where?
Don't ask that question. I'm not gonna explain.
At the bookstore next to the sushi place.
Okay, well, if you don't like it, I'll take it back. Unbelievable, this guy.
I think that's a Christopher went to the gift store by himself.
I think it's nice. Thank you. Nice.
I will also say it was the best available option of some pretty slim pickings.
Yep.
Now, Matt, you, more than anyone else, represent the duality of humanity.
I am a Gemini.
That makes a lot of sense. You are. What's your rising?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to do your birth chart tonight.
Boy, I can't wait till we do.
Report back to me tomorrow.
Our Star Chart spinoff. That's going to be good.
Yeah.
Star Chart, but in the Star Trek font. That's our new podcast.
God damn it, I already have a new podcast. It's about gorillas, and it's called Primatology.
I think you should say it's about the bad gorillas, because you don't really hit that Z when you say it on the podcast.
Gorillas. It's so, about the band Gorillas.
Anyway, Matt, you're two sides. Two sides. So I feel like I got you two gifts that represent the two sides, the whole of your personality as I understand it.
Is this going to be insulting?
It's not going to be insulting.
Okay. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Do I need to... Okay. Yes! Oh, boy. It's in a coffin. It's Blair's...
It's in a grave box.
It's in a grave box. It's Blair's Mega Death Sauce.
With
Liquid Rage.
Now, Matt, I got that for you.
You gave a little clue when you introduced me.
I did. There's a keychain in there, and I expect to see that on your keys from now on.
Oh, yeah, it's on the top of the bottle.
Yeah.
I wash hot ones, man.
Yeah.
I wash hot ones.
So, if you just want to, take a swig of that, I'll vamp while you...
I would prefer to put it on a food item.
Well, that is...
That's so good.
That's Mega Death Sauce with Liquid Rage.
Mega Death Sauce with Liquid Rage.
How many Scovilles in there?
They give the Scoville rating. They give the Scoville rating on Hot Ones. It's like 500,000, I think.
That's a lot of Scovies.
I want to see how it compares to the sauce I tried on Snack Situation that you don't want me to say the name of.
Yeah, I would prefer that you didn't.
Because
Aiden's looking at me confused. Do you want to say to another human being what the name of that hot sauce is?
Here, I'll put it in quotation marks.
Okay.
It's made in Central America. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't know all the translations.
I feel like they do. I feel like it's very intentionally named.
It's called Ass Reaper.
Oh. Mm.
And it's got a little Grim Reaper on it.
It's not good.
It's not great.
It's not good.
It is very hot, though. Okay.
It made Matt's tongue swell up.
Allow me to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
Before I get the cold part of the present?
No. Like, I think there's two very defined facets of your personality, and one of them is that you're a hot sauce guy now.
That is, like, half of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's half of what we've talked about for the last 2 months.
The hottest sauce on the program Hot Ones is called The Last Dab. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to find. There's one store that sells it, and they sell out very quickly. Mm-hmm. But someone I know in Asheville, his name is Bobby.
Do you have a hot sauce guy, and is the hot sauce guy's name Bobby in Asheville?
He's not a hot sauce guy. He's in my improv class.
Okay.
He had a bottle of The Last Dab at home. And so Marlene and I went to his house. We were going to, like, practice some improv stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said, we ate pizza. And he said, hey, you want to try The Last Dab on some of this pizza? And I said, yes, I do. So I did. And in terms of immediate heat, Ass Reaper, hotter than The Last Dab.
Okay, well, here was the problem with that sauce that I've asked you not to say the name of and you keep saying it. Was not the immediate heat, it was that your tongue swelled up and it made it very difficult for you to finish the podcast we were recording.
It made my tongue swell up. The Last Dab did not make my tongue swell up.
Okay.
The heat lasted longer, but I did not consider it to be hotter. This comes before The Last Dab on Hot Ones. So either their scale is screwed up, or this is going to be not as hot as even The Last Dab. So I'm interested to see how that turns out.
Well, it's got liquid rage.
It does have liquid rage.
Now, the other half of personality, a.k.a. the only other thing I know you like.
Oh, dip. It is the Nintendo Switch edition of Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn. Man, I love Shaq.
I know you do.
I love him.
This is the crowd-funded reboot of the Shaq Fu franchise that is now a side-scrolling brawler rather than a fighting game. And since I bought the physical version...
It's a good choice.
It's a much better fit.
Yeah.
It's a much better fit. But I believe this version, since I bought you a physical copy, A, because maybe I can borrow it sometime.
Sure.
And B, I believe that includes the downloadable content that you would have to pay extra for in the downloadable version. So Matt, play it in good health. Enjoy Shaq Fu, The Legend Reborn, and Blair's Mega Death Sauce with Liquid Rage, and the keychain included. And happy birthday to you, Matt.
Thank you.
35 years.
Thank you to you both.
Were you born in Shelby?
I was born in Shelby, North Carolina, yes.
Okay, what's your actual birthday?
Are we doing the star chart now? June 8th, 1983 is when I was born.
June 8th, 1983.
We'll report back on my star chart later.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up the episode now.
We're going to do it.
If you would like to get in touch with us, if you have a question for me about hot sauce, you can email us.
That's what the show's about now.
warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. That is where you can send every story ever lists, panel president lists. If you want to sponsor the show, you can let us know there. Check out our website, which is warrocketajax.com. That is where you can stream the show, download the show, read show notes, and leave comments. Also, find us on Apple Podcasts or in the podcast app of your choice, and please leave us a review if you are so inclined. the more positive reviews we get on those podcatcher apps, the more we are featured in those places, which helps us help you get more content from the high-quality content boys of War Rocket Ajax.
Number one content daddies.
Number one content daddies. Now, we have reached the part of the show where we tell you all the different places you can find us online. For me, I have made it so easy. All you have to do is go to mattdwilson.net, and you will find links to all my stuff, my comics, my books, my social media presences. Facebook's about to be deleted. And all my stuff is right there. Chris, where can people find your stuff?
People can find all of my stuff by going to THE-ISB.com. They'll have links to the comics that I write, the columns that I write online, podcasts that I do, including Movie Fighters with Matt Wilson, Sailor Business, Xena Business, Apocrypals, which is an episode-by-episode recap podcast of the Bible. That's going to do it for Rocket Ajax 411.
No, no.
412?
Earlier. It's like 407.
We've done 410. We've done 410.
I don't think we have.
I'm pretty sure we've done 410.
This is not a conversation anybody wants to hear because they know what episode this is.
That does it for this episode. Patreon.com/WarRocketAjax to help us out if you want to. Have a great week, everybody.
If you can come to HeroesCon next year, come. It's the best convention.
It's the best convention
on Earth.
And we'll be there.
So were you born in like the morning or like the afternoon?
Lunchtime.
Like noon?
Like 12, like high noon?
Like lunchtime, high noon, yeah. Right on. I'm not joking. That's when it was.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
We love you. Yeah!